listen. It's The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
He was determined. He's like, I am not getting arrested today.
No, he could not figure out how to get it
That's
off,
That's really funny.
That's not... Whoa.
Save that.
That came out wrong. All right, Lil Nas X is facing some pretty serious legal trouble following that bizarre incident that went down a couple days back in Los Angeles. If you missed this, he was found wandering Ventura Boulevard in Studio City around 6 a.m. and he was only wearing white underwear and cowboy boots, taking notes from the naked cowboy up in Times Square. So videos have surfaced of him acting pretty erratically, including placing a traffic cone on his head and later appearing fully nude. So when the police arrived, Lil Nas X allegedly charged at officers, injuring three of them. He was arrested and initially booked on suspicion of misdemeanor obstructing an officer. And due to concerns over a possible overdose, then he was hospitalized before being taken to jail. So then a couple days later, he was formally charged with four felonies, which included three counts of battery with injury on a police officer and one count of resisting an executive officer. He pleaded not guilty to all charges, and his bail was set at $75,000, and it included the fact that he needed to attend four Narcotics Anonymous meetings per week or an outpatient treatment. So if he is convicted, each felony charge could result in up to 3 years in prison, and that's going to put a big wrench in his plans because he's promoting an upcoming album, Dream Boy, later this year.
Do we know what alleged substance he may have been under when, I think some people were wondering if this was a mental health crisis or if he was under the influence of something because of the erratic behavior.
I'm thinking this is probably something where he was under the influence, because part of the conditions for his bail included the fact that he had to attend four Narcotics Anonymous treatment meetings.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume they did some kind of testing on him in the hospital where they're like, okay, he took something. So if we're going to let him out, we need to make sure that he gets the help that he needs.
I'm so interested in his lawyer's legal strategy, because if you assault a police officer like that, it's on their body cams. Like, how can you do not guilty unless... I mean, even if you're under the influence, like, you did the crime, so you do the time.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think people thought the whole scene was so ridiculous at first that they didn't really take it seriously. Like, yeah. Oh, he's just doing some kind of publicity stunt. He obviously has a project coming out later this year. He just wants attention. But the thing is like, these are really serious charges. And like you said, like, that's going to be taken into account on the body cam footage. So it's starting to feel a little bit more sad to where I'm like, oh, this is not the kind of thing that you would do to get publicity. Like, he would just do something crazy, like do another insane music video like he did the last time around when he was promoting music.
I'm glad they put the Narcotics Anonymous in there, like, so that he gets the help he needs.
Absolutely. And some good news though, K-pop Demon Hunters just became the first soundtrack to have four simultaneous top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. This is a huge movie that I feel like everyone except for me has seen. You, Cassie, you've seen it. You raved about it. Jackson was raving about it. And I guess the soundtrack is so good that it is now amongst the likes of other movies that have had Hot 100 top 10 hits like Saturday Night Fever, Grease, The Jazz Singer, Footloose, and Purple Rain.
It is. I mean, it's a really well done movie. It's definitely, I think, geared towards probably, I won't say kids, like preteens, but I think adults can enjoy it too, especially if you like anime. And I'm not a big anime fan, but the way they did the animation in it is really cool. It's just so original. I feel like we've always been like, Hollywood, please give us something original. And they did. And now everyone loved it so much, they started hosting sing-alongs in theaters, like screening it from Netflix in theaters. And it made something like $19 million just from theater screening, so people could sing along. So if you have kids, it's a lot of fun, and I would sit down and watch it. You won't be bored to tears as an adult. And it's a fun thing, but the music is really good. And it's done by, I think, a K-pop girl band. I think their name is Twice. In the movie, they're called Huntrix. So it is real singers from a real K-pop band. And there's a boy band in it too that's giving total BTS vibes. And their song is "You're My Soda Pop." And it's giving BTS butter, and it will get caught in your head. And my favorite is on parent TikTok, there are all these videos of dads sitting there like, what are you watching? And then by the end, they're dancing, you want my soda pop? And you're like, yep, the parents are in on it.
I love that. This is the kind of stuff that we need, because I just went to a Mamma Mia sing-along at a theater down the street from me. And there is something so special about just the feeling of community when you're all enjoying something together. Like, this is the reason why we need theaters. Like, yes, it's nice to sit down on your couch and watch something from the comfort of your own home, but to get to enjoy it with other people is truly like, it makes the movie experience.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so Abby, did I get that right? Your parents want to invite your brother's ex's parents to his wedding. To the woman, like, their daughter is not who he's marrying. Mm-hmm. He's marrying a different woman.
Yep, hence the name ex.
Yeah, hence the word ex.
They got into such a big fight over the weekend. It was so great! I'm like, normally I'm at the receiving end of all of this turmoil. Like, my brother was the golden child growing up. He never, like, him and my parents never fought for anything. And if they did, I'm sure it was like something over something stupid and small. And I'm sitting there at this wine bar in Tampa where I was visiting my family. And I'm watching my brother and my mom go back and forth. And I'm like, should I step in or should I just enjoy this? Because normally I'm at the receiving end of this. But basically, they're kind of going through all of the people they want to invite to the wedding. And the problem is when your parents are pitching in for the cost of the wedding, mm-hmm. they now feel like they have a control over a lot of the decisions. Now, obviously, my parents are going to be hands off for most of it. They're like, you know what? You choose the color scheme. You choose where you want to get married. We're fine with that, but we just have a couple of requests. And one of their requests is that they want to invite their best friends from their neighborhood who just so happen to be the parents of my brother's ex.
Okay, but who was who first? Were they friends with your parents first, or did they meet them through your brother dating their daughter?
So my parents met these friends during the pandemic. So we were all quarantining together. So we were always at each other's houses.
Your COVID pod.
We were a COVID pod. So at this point in time, my entire family lived in Jacksonville, which is my hometown. So my brother, me, and then of course my parents. And then they lived across the street from this family that we became very close with because they had a great pool. We had a great pool and we were just swapping back and forth. And so we all kind of became friends because we were quarantining together. And then because, you know, we're seeing each other literally every day, we're just drinking White Claws after 3 p.m. because we had nothing to do at work. We all, you know, there was some romance that started to blossom between their daughter and my brother. And there may have been... there may have been a little bit of drama involved considering how they got together because I think somebody was dating somebody else at the time. And so there was this very high stakes romance happening, mm-hmm. all of this to say. And so it burned very hot, very quickly, and was done after like a month. And it just led to
it was only a month?
Well, there was some... I know it was only a month, but it was also quarantine. So think of it as, you know, we were together all day, every day for a month.
A month. It was a relationship on steroids.
It was a relationship on steroids. And also there was a little bit of that high stakes of, you know, someone's leaving somebody else for you. And then all of a sudden, you know, a week later, then you're not dating. So then there's a little bit of turmoil with that. And we're all still quarantining together. So all of this to say is this relationship was a thing for a while.
Gotcha.
And my brother, of course, feels a little weird about it. He's like, I know you guys are very close with this family, but at the end of the day, like, I still dated their daughter and it was kind of a weird situation. So, you know, I would prefer it if you didn't invite them, considering it's my wedding.
Also, low-key a slap in the face of the future, their future daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine if you were a bride getting married and your future in-laws invited your soon-to-be husband's ex? I even if they're like friends, I'm sorry, you got to sit it out for this. Like, it's, you got to respect family first on this big day. I just maybe there's more to the story that I don't know. And I don't think, do I think your parents mean it like that? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I just, it doesn't sit right.
I don't know why it's not bothering me. And I think it's because this was 5 years ago. So it wasn't like it happened yesterday. This happened 5 years ago. It was a month relationship. So it wasn't anything long term. It wasn't like they were thinking engagement. Granted, it was tumultuous. Like, there was drama to it. I get that.
There was some turbulence for sure.
Yeah. The fact that it's not like they met this couple through your brother dating her. They were friends first.
Mm-hmm.
So, and whether you like it or not, if your family is contributing to the wedding, that money is not just, it comes with strings attached. There are always strings attached if your family is helping to fund the wedding. So in this instant, now, obviously, if she was invited, that would be absolutely out of bounds, out of line.
Oh, but I misunderstood. I thought she was invited too.
She is not invited. No. Oh, it's just the parents.
It's just the parents.
Oh, that's much more like, that was like, wait, are you, you're really chill with the ex being invited to the wedding? No, I'm a dummy.
Yeah.
No, it's just the parents.
Just the parents. And I think it would be okay.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm not bothered by it, but I'm just going with my instinct and my gut that I'm a face. Now here's the deal. If his fiance, right, if your brother's fiance is uncomfortable with it, well, then as her future husband, then you're going to have to put your foot down. And I wouldn't hide anything. I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but I also wouldn't try to hide it either, if that makes sense.
So I was actually the one who broke the news to her about why he was pitching such a fit about this family, because she's sitting there. She's like, yeah, I don't understand why he's so upset about your parents' friends getting invited. And I was like, well, funny you should mention that. And weirdly enough, she has no problem with it whatsoever.
Well, then there you go.
She doesn't care. And I'm in the boat where I was there, so I understand why it's weird. But I've also been at the receiving end of a fight with my mom. And I'm like, you're not winning. So why don't we just accept it? And then you can get a really great wedding gift from this family who is probably going to shower you with some lovely gifts. And you're going to be so happy and in love on the day that you're not even going to be thinking about these people. Like, it's a big deal now, but I think in a year, you're going to be fine.
I don't want to dismiss his feelings either, because it's not all about the bride and who she wants there. It's also about the groom and if he's comfortable. So obviously he should get a say. But I'm very unbothered by this.
And hindsight's 2020, but I remember for my wedding, it was like a medium-sized wedding, but I remember there were like friends I couldn't invite because the guest list was packed. And my mom asked me if she could invite her best friend. And I don't think at that point I had met her best friend yet, but I knew they were close. And I told my mom, I'm so sorry. Like, there's just no room and I'm already bumping like people I love. I can't do it. And I regret that. I wish her best friend had been at the wedding so that she could have had those moments with her. And it was fine without it. She wasn't bummed. And my mom's like, okay, I get it. But I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in our feelings that it's okay to step back, not dismiss our feelings, but step back and be like, you know what? This would make my parents happy. And that's cool too, because this is also a big day for them.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what I said to my brother. And then I felt very proud of myself because I was like, look at me keeping the peace for once in my family.
The Bird Show.
We've been talking a lot about proposals on the air recently. Abby, you just helped your brother plan an epic proposal.
Help is a strong word, Kristen, for totally overhauling the proposal he didn't want to plan.
And then we had a Burke Show listener during our texting tutor. She wanted to give her friend a heads up that I don't think your boyfriend's going to propose. Turns out he just waited to the last second. And so in that proposal kind of, well, when you wait to the last second, didn't go great, and she kind of wants a do-over. So with all this conversation about proposals, Bert got a DM, and it's a guy who's about to propose.
Oh, that's so exciting!
And it's I pre-read it. He sounds like he has a great plan, but he's concerned in one area. He's worried he's going to screw this up because there was something we talked about on the air that never crossed his mind, and he doesn't know if he needs to do this, all right? So the DM that Bert got, you gotta help me before I totally mess this up. I was listening to your texting tutor this morning and now I'm second guessing myself. I am planning on proposing this weekend to my girlfriend, but I plan on doing it in the mountains at a cabin that holds a lot of memories for me. We're both pretty simple people. I have it all planned out in my head. Take a stroll down to a waterfall that we love. Mm-hmm. I was gonna propose there. But here's the thing. Is she going to be mad that I don't have anybody around to take pictures of the proposal? I didn't even think about this. Is this a standard part of engaging now?
Engaging.
I don't even know who I'd ask to take the pictures because it would probably tip her off that the proposal was coming. Help, am I about to mess this all up?
Aww.
So, Abby, do you think that he needs to have somebody there, or could this just be a lovely, beautiful, sweet moment for the two of them?
First of all, I think if you're wondering, am I about to mess this all up? You're probably not about to mess this all up because you have something that a lot of guys don't have. And that's something called consideration, where you're taking her feelings into consideration. You heard us talking about this on the radio. You heard that this was important or what I knew would be important to my brother's now fiance, and that we needed a photographer. I knew that that would be important to her because me and her are very similar. And I knew that she was going to be very excited to share the news on social media. She would want a high quality photo of the experience to be able to frame or to post on her Instagram and let her girls know that the engagement happened. And oh my God, look at the ring. We took that into consideration because I knew that's what she would want. But your girlfriend may not care. Like, she may not want a photo of the proposal. She may actually love exactly what you've already planned out. And that's just something intimate between the two of you where you go down to that waterfall and you just have this moment and then you can snap a couple iPhone photos later.
Well, so if you're going down to a waterfall, this is a perfect ruse. And I don't think she's going to see this coming. I do not think she's going to see this coming. Set your phone up like you want to take a couple's photo in front of the waterfall. But instead of on like picture, you just do a video, right? Because now people do video so they can get a screen capture of it, right? So set the video up, go like you're taking a picture in front of the waterfall, and then get down on bended knee. So you've recorded it yourself on your smartphone. You didn't have to have anybody there and you were just pretending you were getting a photo of the two of you in front of the waterfall. But now you have that memory preserved and it's not invasive. And I think she's going to be ecstatic that you have it.
Also, it's not a tip off to have a photographer by a waterfall. Like, people go hiking and take their cameras. I do it all the time. Photographers can be expensive, but you can get a cheap one off Fiverr or find like a local community college with arts with budding photographers and see if they want to do it for cheap to build their portfolio. So I think like you could do it without and would be fine and just film it. And then you could, if you wanted to take it next level, find someone so that you have those good memories of such a great engagement. But we didn't have a photographer at ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I documented the whole thing on social media myself, but no photographer and no sweat. Yeah. I'm not mad about it.
The reality is only you know your soon-to-be fiance better than us. So if you think that she's going to want some kind of high-quality photo, make arrangements now, buddy. Like, you got 48 hours or whatever. But I think if you haven't thought about it and it hasn't crossed your mind, it's probably because you know that she might not care.
Yeah. And just, yeah, I would not be mad at you setting up the iPhone. Just don't, like, just make sure you where you set it up, it's not, like, way low and you don't have that weird up angle.
Oh, yeah.
Try to make it so it's a little more.
I feel like there's got to be, like, a fellow hiker around. And you can be like, hey, can you just, like, record this video of us real quick so I can screenshot some pics later? And they're going to be so taken off guard. They're like, wait a second. Now, all of a sudden, I've been thrown into the most important day of your life?
And like, let's not forget, it's okay to just do stuff for you without having to document it.
Very
like
true.
You can just have that moment and it can be just for the two of you.
Hey, The Bird Show.
So there was an interaction that happened at the golf course and it just made me realize that we need to stop making other people's compliments about us because somebody tried to steal our sparkle at the golf tournament and it was off-putting to say the least.
Kristen, don't let anyone steal your sparkle.
I know, they tried. I was going to say I wouldn't let him, but I did a little bit. All right. So what had happened was we were at the Tour Championship this past weekend at East Lake. And this is like a top notch golf tournament. 10 out of 10 had like the best time. Even if you're not super into golf, that course is pristine. The clubhouse is gorgeous. It's like a huge prize, right? Like you get like I think Bert said it's like the biggest payout of the PGA Tour or something like that.
$10 million. And didn't the guy who just won, like he's never won a tour championship ever before. So he's like, yeah, now I'm just like a casual millionaire.
Right. And so, you know, of course, and you're going to dress the part. So we had our cute little tennis shoes on. I had like this little summery dress or whatever. I was with a friend of mine. She was there because it was Bart and his best friend. And he's the best man at his best friend's wedding next month. And so it was he and his fiance. So it was just a foursome, right? Out there enjoying the enjoying the day. And so Kelly and I are standing there on one of the cart paths. And, you know, we got our cocktail in hand. She's got her vodka lemonade. I got my Salvi B. And, you know, got my cute little hat on and my little dress. And she's, you know, got her, like, ball cap on and her cute dress. And we're just standing there. And this guy walks by and not in a creepy way at all. And mind you, this is towards the end of the tournament. So people had been drinking. And he's like, hey, I just want to let you ladies know you look lovely today.
Aw.
And let me just say, I was like that. And it was it. What, like I said, it wasn't like you look lovely. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a very kind compliment. And I'm like, we were both like, ah, like we did like the clutch the pearl and like the very southern, like, why I do declare. Thank you so much for the compliment. But as he said that, two young women were walking by, right? So we are easily double their age, all right? So I'm 46, Kelly's in her early 40s, and these young 20-somethings walk by as this guy was kind enough to compliment us. And listen, this old hag over here, she's all down. I'm down for a compliment, right? And so as they walk by, they were like, what about us?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, excuse moi? What about you? This isn't about you. Like, take your main character energy elsewhere. You don't have to make everything about you. We are old and we are decrepit and we need some compliments from young men. You need to go somewhere.
Kristen, if you really need a compliment that bad, I'm just going to give you all my Hinge likes and show you every single one of the guys who is commenting on how hot you are next to me.
I think we need to normalize calling people out for their weird behavior. Like, you should have just turned to them and said, try harder.
Whoa.
No, if you're going to make a weird, like, I get they were probably having fun and I'm sure it was jokey, but yeah. At the same time,
no,
like,
no, she was legit perturbed.
Oh, then like, try harder, B.
Yeah, like,
try
harder. As they walked by, because it was like they genuinely seemed, and this is my perception of like what went down. They genuinely seemed perturbed that this dude like told us that we looked lovely and did not give them the same compliment, because they happened to be like, it was like he was walking by us and they were passing him and whatever. And then he was like, he ended up yelling down the golf cart path,
yeah, you ladies look nice too.
If you tried a little harder.
Like, I'm all down for gentle parenting people under the age of 18. But once you hit 18, I'm not going to be gentle anymore. I'm just going to call it as it is. In early 20s, like, calm down. You probably know you're hot. You've got your youth. Like, live it up and just know the decrepit old hags is probably the highlight of their month. Even though, Kristen, you're not decrepit old hag. You're hot. Okay?
I appreciate that. But this 46-year-old, it was just nice to get a compliment. And then they literally just like sucked the air out of the golf course when they walked by and they said that. Now, listen, I know it's on me. It's not what they said, but it's how I let what they said affect them. And don't get it twisted. I wasn't like in a tizzy for the rest of the day. It was that 2 minutes right there. It was just so off-putting. And I was just like, you know what? You don't have to make everything about you. Don't make somebody else's compliment about you. Just because somebody gets complimented doesn't mean that you're getting dissed in any way, shape, or form. That's not how that works.
You know what it is? It's pick me energy. Oh. That's why I don't like it. Mm. Because instead of like having a group of girls, like they could have turned to you and been like, oh my God, you guys do look fantastic. Love your dress. Where'd you get it? Or they could have said nothing. Like, they don't have to lie, but it's giving like, pick me. Like, what about me? Pick me. And I think that kind of energy, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be recognized, but what irritates me is that you are trying to steal the spotlight from another woman instead of lifting another woman up. And it just is kind of a low-key toxic behavior. In the grand scheme of things, like, no big deal. Like you said, you didn't sweat it, but it's just this undercurrent of like, why are we in competition with each other when we could just be celebrating each other instead?
And I think that's why I'm going to give them a little bit of grace, because at the age of 22 and 23, like, you're soaking in pick me energy, because all you're wanting is to go out and live for the one thing you have at 22, which isn't brains and intelligence. It's just getting to be hot. And so when you feel like that's being taken away, you know what? I would have said something too, because I'm like, this is all I have at 22. I have no other accomplishments to my name, just this face.
All right, Abby, so you went out to dinner with Jezebel's most eligible women, because if you haven't noticed the cover of Jezebel magazine, that face is going to look very familiar, and that's because it's our very own Abby
But
Murphy.
What about me?
Yes!
But Kristen, it's not going to look familiar, because they're going to be like, that doesn't look like the girl in our Facebook videos. Did they AI Abby onto the cover of Jezebel magazine?
But I love that you and the other ladies from the most eligible issue all went out and grabbed a bite together.
It was so fun. Yeah. So speaking of fellow hot people, we went to Gypsy Kitchen down in Buckhead just to have a couple of drinks, some dinner, and then to go out and like take on the town as fellow singletons. Because, you know, when you're the most eligible, you have to be both hot but also single. And we were all just discussing the Atlanta dating scene, because I guess I would consider them my peers in the dating world. Like, we all kind of have similar experiences because, you know, we're all kind of doing the same thing. We're all out there well-educated. We have our jobs. We put effort into our appearance, except at 6 a.m. on a Monday through Friday morning for
me.
No
one puts effort in. Stop it. No one puts effort in at 6 a.m. unless they have to be on camera, which whatever. We don't care about that. You are gorgeous. And
Thank you.
You are like one of the most beautiful people. So stop saying you AI'd yourself onto the cover, because that is what you look like.
I'm just making a joke.
I know. Okay. I was like, after a couple, I was like, do we need to tell Abby she's hot? Do we need to hold a mirror in front of her face?
Trust me. My self-esteem has never, I'm about to be insufferable. I'm entering my hot girl fall.
Well, shut up, you ugly whore. Okay.
So anyway, we go out to dinner and we're just comparing our experiences. And the one thing that just kept coming up was so comforting, because I feel like I've been shouting this one complaint from the rooftops for months, years, centuries, if you will. And I wondered if it was just a me problem, because, like, of course, I think when you live with yourself constantly, you start to wonder, like, am I attractive? Like, is there a reason this isn't happening for me? But to see other fellow hot people say, you know, guys just don't approach us out in the wild here in Atlanta, that was so, it made me feel so much more at ease with my dating life, because I'm like, oh, this is a universal issue. Like, if some of the hottest people in Atlanta, the quote unquote most eligible people in this city, are also going out to a bar and wondering, why is this man not coming up and saying hi to me? Then that must mean there's not something quote unquote wrong with me. There's maybe something wrong with the dating culture. And so we were just kind of discussing that at dinner and saying, okay, well, what can we do? Because it feels a little emasculating is the wrong word, because it would emasculate them, but it makes us feel a little bit like a dommy mommy to have to constantly go up to these guys.
Did you say dommy mommy?
Yes. I was like, we feel a little dommy mommy going up at Painted Park being like, hey, my name's Abby and I want to date you. I think you're hot. And it's just getting to the point where it's like, what do we have to do to get these guys to come over and be like, hey, I think you're cute.
So this is like a running complaint, like a running theme with you and the other eligible Atlantans, from the other eligible lady Atlantans.
Yes. And I was just like, if they're having problems, then everyone must be having problems, because if this is the quote unquote upper echelon of women out here dating in the city, then it's clearly a cultural problem with the other gender.
All right. So great. Speak to dudes right now. You got 20 seconds. Like, pump them up to make a move.
Okay. It's the bottom of the ninth. We gotta go. Yeah. There are women out there. Our eggs are drying up. Our Botox is wearing off. We have about 3 to 4 years left of looking this hot. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of effort into this full beat, contour on fleek, fake eyelashes.
Yeah.
Flipped up to the gods. Yeah. Come up to me and say hi. That's it.
The Burt Show.
Abby was talking about like dating in Atlanta and how guys weren't approaching her. And mm-hmm. I had a thought on it.
Okay. I'm ready to hear your thought.
And maybe Mikey. Hey, Mikey, come in here for a second. Because in these conversations that I have with my son, who's 18 and he's not old enough to date you yet, but I
Why did you throw yet in there? I'm not dating your son.
Well, at some point he's going to be 30 and you'll be whatever.
Dead.
And then. Anyway, so I'm wondering, and I'm not exactly sure how to communicate it, but I think with he and his friends, and I'm wondering if this is a generational thing also. So now we're talking about 21, 22, 23 year olds. I think young men are very confused right now on what their, excuse me, on what their place is, how to approach women without it being disrespectful. And I think they're so nervous about it that I'm wondering if that's what you're feeling when you're out in Atlanta and guys just aren't coming up to you anymore. There's always going to be the one dude or the two dudes that are like sales guys and they're buzz and they're just playing the numbers. But I'm wondering, based on what Hollis has told me, there's a real fear there of offending. Mm-hmm. His role just seems a, I don't know. He just seems very confused by it for young guys.
That's surprising to me, because when I met your son, I was like, this is literally the mayor of Atlanta. Like, this guy could talk to anybody. But to me, I've heard that so many times that I'm just starting to wonder if this is a story guys are telling themselves to make them feel better about the fact that they're honestly just scared of rejection. And I think it's okay to admit that it is nerve-wracking to approach a woman, to put yourself out there in that way, and realize, like, I am setting myself up for an ego hit.
And I do feel
I think it's deeper than that. And I think that we would need young men on. Like, I've done a lot of like homework on incel culture, and I don't think it's a made up story. I think dudes, I think we're in a weird time with social media now where guys also are sort of like not used to actually communicating mm-hmm. to people eye to eye also. And I don't think it's a made up thing at all.
No, I just, whenever I hear Abby say that it's because we're scared of rejection. I know that this makes people angry, but why can it not be the other way? Why are you guys scared of rejection? Why are you not allowed to come talk to us?
But I do. I am very proficient in approaching men in the wild, which is why I think it's something I hold guys I date to that standard. Because I'm like, if I'm comfortable approaching men, then they should be a comfortable approaching me, because I hold myself to that same standard. But I think it's also important to recognize like the power dynamic that shifts when a woman approaches a guy. Like, I think guys all day long are like, yeah, I definitely want a girl to approach me. They deep down do not want that, because
I've heard you say that before. Yeah. How is that possibly true?
It's not true.
It's the greatest thing ever.
This is sometimes where I feel like the show like gets woman-splained.
Really?
Because that's not true.
That can't be true.
Because then it feels like you're not chasing me, and I think deep down guys want to be the pursuer. I think it does flip the dynamic. I disagree.
I think that the lady likes to be chased. I don't think that the guy wants to be the pursuer. I think that that's a necessary thing. But off this whole conversation, I got to say, also, it's hard for me to speak for all men because I'm a weirdo. So it's like kind of different. But
yeah, Mikey Wakefield, spokesperson for all men.
it's very tough to just go up to a lady. It's so like you almost need to have some kind of connection, like a girl's friends. You know, like it's some kind of in that is outside of just walking up to someone in a bar.
Look at the statistics. I think a lot of guys now, and I do listen to a lot of podcasts that have to do with this, but if you take it from a guy's perspective, here's what we know, is that you guys are looking for somebody that's over 6'3". You're looking for somebody that's making six figures. You're looking for this and you're looking for that. But when you look at the statistics on the men that women are looking for that are the prized possessions, they're about 1% of the dating pool. So I think guys immediately right off the bat feel like they don't have a chance. And then when you look at the numbers on like a Hinge or a dating app on how many times a guy has to approach a woman that it actually turns into a date, it's staggeringly low.
All right, so back to what you were originally talking about with, you know, Hollis being concerned about approaching women. And I think this is very nuanced. I think this is very layered. I do not think this is black and white. And I think there are a lot of, there's a lot of sides and there's a lot of sides to this. But one of them being, and I think it can be a little bit of a, not just, you know, I'm gonna own it. I'm gonna stand on business. I think it can be a cop out, because I think ever since the Me Too movement, men have so often fallen back on, well, I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want, and at that point, I want to be like, just don't be a creep. Like it's very common sense, and you don't want to be overly pushy. Like it takes courage from both parties to approach each other, right? And it takes courage from men to approach a woman. It takes courage from a woman to approach a man. But if a guy is saying, and there are men, hashtag not all men, but there are men who are like, yeah, I don't want her accusing me of XYZ. And it's like, no, just be a decent dude and you're not going to have to worry about that.
I don't think that's a big thing going on at all. I think that's like, that's you guys thinking that that's what it is. It's definitely a rejection thing. People can be mean and it'll destroy your ego. Then you can't talk to anybody.
That's not me making an assumption, because he literally just said men don't know how to approach women without it coming off as creepy or disrespectful.
It can come off as creepy, but it's like, I'm not going to get accused of anything.
I guess my question is, why can't you just approach a woman in a way you would approach somebody you work with in the break room? Like, why can't you just be like, hey, are you having a good night?
Because
open up the conversation.
It's got to be romantic, right?
No, it does not have to be. You don't need to come up with some kind of line and be like, hey,
I would never try a line. I can remember one time I walked up to a lady in a bar. She was wearing flip-flops. I stepped on her toes. And that's just terrible.
I thought that was your line.
That's your line?
That's a way to break the ice.
Do you think maybe, like, I do see some confusion because I've been like, don't approach women. But I mean, like, well, their headphones are in and they're clearly, like, lifting weights. Leave them alone, right? But when it's clearly everyone is out for a social thing, do you think maybe dating apps are the actual culprit because everything takes place online? So it's swipe, swipe, swipe from the menu. And then, yes, like Bert said, you don't know how to have conversations in real life because everything's online.
I think that's what Casey here wants to say also. Hey, Casey, good morning. Thanks for joining the combo here.
Good morning, y'all. Love y'all.
Thank you.
Or listened to you, all that stuff since I was a teenager.
Thank you.
In my 40s, so I just aged myself and I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Look, I have 16-year-old girls, as I told them, y'all pray for me, okay? it's terrible out here. We're not surviving. So I think it's a lost art of communication, right? Between social media and texting. Like, just actually, I was like, you know, Skippy Toilet Riz, Ohio. Like, what? No. Hi, my name's Billy. My name's Sally. How are you? Or even the classic, if you were a booger, I'd pick you first. I mean, anything.
I do, like, think that.
That's all. I think it's just they don't know how to talk to each other.
Yeah, and I do think that's kind of an old school mentality, and I have the same one, actually, Casey. But it's so different for this generation than it was ours, and I don't know where that switch happened, but it certainly has.
I'll tell you, the social media thing, I find all that to be nonsense, too. I was 10 times worse at trying to communicate over Tinder than I was in real life. In real life, like, I can show I can, like, have a personality or something. On Tinder, I'm just like a skinny weirdo. So it's like, no, that's worse. I'm better at walking up to women.
Hey, I want to let you know that in real life, you're a skinny weirdo.
Well, that's a fact.
Okay.
It translates. Did you approach Trent or did Trent approach you?
I approached her, but it was through a friend. So my friend was dating her friend. I sat down with them and she was sitting next to me, challenged her to a staring contest. Works like a charm.
Oh, I don't want to be creepy. I don't want to come up the wrong
way. That wasn't creepy. It was sweet.
I just would love that.
Yeah, it was good.
That's fun.
If this didn't work out, my first move is staring contest.
Men have no cop out now because clearly asking a woman to do a staring contest didn't come off as creepy.
Why are you mad at me for doing a staring contest? It's not anything.
No, I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're sitting here being like, we don't want to be creepy.
You're
yelling
at me.
It's also okay to have a staring contest if the woman knows she's in one.
Yeah. there's a whole strategy around it.
This is like tier one information.
Lessons.
Hold on a second, you guys. Hey, Nikki, good morning. Thanks for joining the convo here. Appreciate you.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
Good, thank you.
I just want to comment. I have a son who's almost 19, and I think that a lot of women forget that men get hurt just like women do. They get broken down, they get lied to, and we speak in absolutes about men a lot, but as a mother of a son, I've seen the rejection and I've seen the hurt that women can cause. And then he gets grouped into this all men and, you know, every guy does this. And I think that that's definitely not true.
Yeah, it's complicated. It really is. And it just is very different from, and young men, I think I feel a lot of them in talking to Hollis and his friends sort of don't feel a lot of times that they can even talk about their vulnerabilities because, again, they're supposed to be men. They're supposed to be boys. You guys are supposed to be strong. So not necessarily complaining, but establishing their feelings in this area and the rejection that they're feeling is really causing a big time problem with teen boys.
Can we do a young man panel?
Yeah.
That would actually be so great.
You'd have to solicit for it, not me.
No, I think it would be good to have like a handful of men, 20, 21, 22, 23, and just, you know, and actually listen to them and get their perspectives on, you know, since you said you're the outlier, you're a weirdo man, though I don't find you weird, but
yes,
that makes one of you.
We all do. But it's a very endearing.
Why do we even have to solicit? Can't you just ask Hollis and his friends?
Just thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I was thinking like the ones who are in the bars who are 21 and over.
Yeah.
Well, those are.
Sometimes it's 18 and up, Kristen.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But I will say that he and his friends are definitely out there, and I think that they would communicate it really, really well.
Okay.
They're always begging to come on the radio.
The Bert Show.